Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha.
A daily broadcast on real-life issues that will keep you motivated.
And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is March the 13th, 2014, and you're tuning in with another episode of The Bright Side with Technisha. And I am so glad that everyone is here today, because today I have Ms. Lynn Sandberg, who will be giving us the biblical methods to parent our children, and that will be helpful for me as well as other parents who have teenagers, even 8-year-olds, who seem to have discipline problems. But at the moment, since she's not on, I'm just going to hit you with some tunes, and when she does come on, then we'll get started.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies. And I'm not proud of my address. In a torn up town, no postcode envy.
But every song's like gold teeth, gray goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstained ball gowns stretching the hotel room. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair,
and we'll never be royal.
Royal.
It's the one in our blood. That kind of love just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
We count our dollars on the train to the party, and everyone who knows us knows
that we're fine with this. We didn't come for money.
But every song's like gold teeth, gray goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstained ball gowns trapped in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair,
and we'll never be royal.
Royal.
It's the one in our blood. That kind of love just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Ruler.
Back on with Lynn. How are you today, Lynn?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm glad that you could join us today. It's been a blissful day. And this is Lynn, everyone, Lynn Sandberg, who I was just talking about. Lynn will be giving us the fundamentals, the biblical way to shape up your children and everything, the correct way that they are supposed to be disciplined. So let's welcome her. Let's keep our eyes and ears open today. So, Lynn, what inspired you to really write your book?
Well, it's actually been a long time in the making, like 23 years I've been working on it. Essentially, it's my life's work, and it started with my strong desire to honor the Lord as a parent. And I raised with my husband three children. They're now all grown. And back in the early 90s, like 1991, I just was praying to the Lord. It's, Lord, I want to honor you with my life, with my family. And I clearly heard him speak to me, then let me teach you what I'm like. And so I began the journey of just documenting what he was teaching me through his word and implementing that into my family's life. Me and my husband both trying to lead our children in the Lord to honor him, to love him, and to love his word.
And see, that's the way to be. Oh, I do apologize. I'm sorry. I meant to give Lynn's name of the book, which is Heaven on Earth, A Biblical Model for Parenting.
That's right.
So, Lynn, if you could you summarize your book in maybe one to three sentences?
Yes. The very first part of the book, I kind of lay the biblical foundation for parenting, that we ought to be striving to be like God the Father. He says he's the perfect Father, so we need to emulate him to our children. Then I go into four chapters of how Jesus grew. He grew wisdom and favor, stature and favor with God and men. So I talk about all the different things that we ought to teach children. Then, of course, because children don't always want to do what we tell them to do, it's time to discipline them. And out of great love, God says he'll discipline us as his children because he loves us. And so we then need to discipline our children when they refuse to or resist our leadership. And so I spend several chapters on that, the topic as well. I finished the book up with what do you do when you find yourself angry and disciplining your child out of anger? You're the angry parent. And so that's probably the longest chapter that I have, because I have found that many, many children struggle with this issue.
Oh, definitely. And that's the hard one. And I wanted to know, what is the focus on that chapter, angry parent?
Well, first of all, it talks about the destructiveness of anger, that a lot of times we do say and do things while we're angry that we never would have done when we're not angry. And so then afterwards it, you know, produces a great deal of guilt, whether you have, you know, raised your voice, screamed at them, given them harsher punishments, or even, you know, dealt very harshly with them physically. It creates a broken relationship between you and your child, and it also creates a great deal of guilt in the parent's life. So I talk about how destructive it is, and then when you find yourself in it, what are you going to do? And so we talk a lot about the repenting to the Lord and helping him transform your thinking, actually change the way you think about a situation, because even though the child needs discipline, it doesn't mean that anger is appropriate. They don't have to go hand in hand. But in many, many homes, it does go hand in hand. If I'm going to discipline, it's going to be, you know, I'm going to raise my voice and I'm going to be angry about it. A lot of parents mistaken the need for discipline with pairing that up with anger. And I say that anger actually causes a break in a relationship with the child, and the children will actually push away from an angry parent, and you'll lose the ability to lead your child if you persist in leading them with anger. And so it's about recognizing it, seeing how destructive it is, learning a different way to relate to your child. In other words, disciplining them without anger. Say, yeah, I'm sorry you did that. Because you did that, now I need to bring this discipline into your life. You see, the tone that I have right now is not of anger at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so when a parent finds themselves angry, they really need to pull themselves aside, kind of like a timeout for mom and dad, and get your emotions under control, and then go and discipline your child appropriately. That's what that chapter is all about. It's actually my longest chapter because it's a pretty complicated problem, and it's a pretty serious problem.
Well, I definitely try to do that myself. If I'm upset, I will tell them to excuse me because I don't want to take my anger out on them. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, "What's wrong, Mommy?" I'll be like, "Just excuse me for a moment because I know I'm not in that state of mind to really communicate with you like I need to."
Yeah. I don't have any trouble communicating with a parent that you do and say things that you would not do. It's almost like there's a disconnect. When a person becomes angry, they're really not themselves. They're not. This is not what they would have chosen to say or do, and they don't have any trouble admitting that they feel a great deal of remorse during an episode of anger. And now you kind of compounded the problem. The child's misbehaved, and now you've misbehaved. and so there's a more than one problem to deal with, and so. That's not usually a problem that I have to get a parent to see that it's very destructive and that it really needs to change. And so I'm a very strong proponent of disciplining children because it says in the Bible, it says, do not be surprised when the Lord disciplines you because he disciplines those he loves. That's found in Hebrews chapter 12.
Okay.
And so he tells us he's going to discipline us. So if we're going to try to emulate or mirror what he is like to our children, then we have to be dedicated to disciplining our children.
Yes. And also, I also like the fact of how you give the different methods of the right and wrong way to spank your children. Should you... Yes, now, because I know in your book you say that it should not come from the whole arm, shoulder, and certainly not the entire body. So when I spank my daughter, should I just basically use my hand of the...
Yes,
just my
I believe it actually should come from your wrist because from a snap of a wrist is only going to give a sting, and that's really all you're trying to communicate to, and it's appropriate for a young child, you know, the fleshy part of their rear end. You're not going to hurt anybody with just a flick of your wrist. You're giving like a sting. You know what I'm saying? It's like a wake-up call.
Okay.
I didn't like what you did, and I'm not going to allow you to continue to do that. And that's all you're communicating to your child. You're not trying to hurt them. And if you use your entire arm, like, you know, it's coming from your shoulder, you're actually able to put a great deal of force. And that's not really what you're trying to do.
Okay, so
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, so Lynn, switches should never be an option, should they?
The Bible says, actually refers to something that, you know, looks like it could be interpreted like a switch. If you use the switch from your wrist, then you're going to get the same effect. If you use the switch from the entire force of your body, then that's not appropriate. You see what I'm saying? The whole idea is, what am I trying to accomplish? What am I trying to do with the spanking? I'm trying to give them a wake-up call. I'm trying to communicate this is inappropriate. And so you're not really trying to hurt them. You're trying to give them a wake-up call. And it's really out of your great love for them that you're willing to do this. And so I use my hand because my hand will communicate back to my brain how much force I'm using.
Okay.
That helps prevent overdoing it. I'm not trying to inflict real bodily harm to them. I'm only trying to communicate to them that they're being inappropriate. Does that make sense to you? That's the reason why I say I use my hand. My hand will get the sting too, right? It's going to hurt me. Have you ever done that? Like, you give a spanking with your hand, and it actually hurts your hand.
Oh,
and
yes,
so
I have.
Helps.
Yeah, and it hurts.
Yeah, it hurts. And so, you know, the old saying, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Well, what does that actually mean? My hand's going to sting, but it actually hurts my feelings. It hurts me emotionally to have to spank you, but I'm going to do it because I'm not going to stand by and watch you go the wrong way. I'm going to step in and interrupt your wrongdoing because I love you. I'm not going to stand by and just watch you like, oh, okay, well. I mean, what parent stands by and watches their child run out into the road and say, oh, well, you know, you shouldn't do that? Well, of course not. We grab them up, right?
Yes, because my daughter the same way when she ran in the grocery store and she ran off and she came down the aisle just smiling and I grabbed her by her arm because I was very afraid that someone had snatched her. I was like, don't ever do that because they're twins. So I had one twin and daddy had the other twin and I was like, where is the other one? And she just smiled and I'm like, no, Amber Alert, no.
Yeah, Amber Alert, exactly. You go right into action and you step in because you know they don't know this. They don't know that running off could be, you know, to their demise. But you know it. And so out of your great love for them, you step in and do something about it. It's the same way with this being disrespectful or this being disobedient. You step in and you communicate, no, you're not going to do that. Not under my roof. Not under my watch.
Mm-hmm.
I love you too much to let you go the wrong way. So, again, we're only talking about spanking at this point, but there in the book it talks about so many other ways to discipline our children and that we ought to be committed, whether it's through spanking or whether it's through taking away of privileges or whether it's giving extra work. I talk about all those things. There's so many tools that a parent can use to bring about discipline in their child's life, and we need to be very diligent and persistent to make sure that that discipline works.
Yeah, because that's what I try to do. If they're acting up, I try to not do the spanking. I try to go other methods, give you extra work to do, homework, because I have plenty of work. So I say, well, come on, let's get these worksheets. We're going to stop the arguing because they love to argue all the time. So I try to give them something else to do besides doing that. Clean up, vacuum.
Exactly. That's really good.
Yeah. I don't know, Lynn. Maybe they do it because they're twins and they have nothing else to do but look at each other. I think they're going to realize that now you get older, I got to look at you. So I'm going to...
How old are your twins?
They're 8. They're girls.
Well, I would say you need to get them busy. If they have nothing else to do but just sit and look at each other and just like, well, then I will make sure that you have something to do besides looking at each other and cause trouble.
And then when they do that, I have to separate them because I say, okay, well, this is not working. You're not working together, so let me separate you. And, it's up and down with them every day.
I'm sure it's an every day, all day long thing.
24/7. Yes.
24/7.
Yeah. They had like, oh, you'll think they're 70. I say, here they go again. They're arguing. What's going on? She took my paper, and I'm like, okay, you're not going to wreck my nerves today. No. Now, I know that you're a volunteer minister at the Harrison County Adult Detention Center in Mississippi.
Yeah.
What is that like?
Well, I started there about 8, going on 9 years ago, and I've kind of evolved into doing a lot of different things. I started out just as a teacher in the Life Learning Program for the females, which is just a program that tries to intervene in the life of these women and help them to think a different way, make different choices so that when they get out, they're different women then, and they'll make different choices and not come back. And so I started out as a teacher, but then I actually became the administrator of that program, which I still am today. I manage the volunteers that come in and teach. We have courses for them throughout the entire week, and every single woman in that jail has that program available to them, and they can base their life on these life principles that we're teaching to them. And we also have a library of Christian books that they can check out. They have ministers during the week to counsel with them, pray with them, and to guide them. We also, of course, have church services on Sunday for them. So every woman in that facility has many things available so that they are not repeat offenders. They can get out and base their life on biblical principles. And so I say that any day that I get up, I open my eyes, and I know that this is a jail day, I say, this is going to be a good day. This is how much I love being there. God is doing a mighty work there, and it is my privilege to be a part of it.
Amen. See, that's good. And you're passing it on because there is no lost hope or false hope out here. You're actually giving them that inspiration. You can continue. It doesn't matter because you're locked behind bars. Your mind doesn't have to be locked up. So that's good.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because people feel that, oh, you're in jail, let's give up hope. No. They were good people. They just strayed away. They just went the wrong way. And that's good that somebody's helping them who truly
They're not any different than you and I. They've made some really, really bad choices. And sometimes they get on a track in life that's difficult then to change. And
exactly.
So this program actually is like a major overhaul of their thinking, because we believe that once you get to a person's thinking that and change the way they think about things, then they'll make different choices.
Yes,
and the choices will bring about a different outcome. And so they can start thinking biblically. They can start relying on the Lord to help them throughout life and to base it on these biblical principles that are in the book. But really, my book is only just one of the courses that's taught to them. And it's just based on, you know, their parenting skills. There's so much more about a person's life that, you know, needs to be changed. So we try to give them kind of a overall challenge to live their life based on the Lord's principles.
Well, I think that was Isaiah 41:13 that says, "For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand, is I who say to you, fear not, I'm the one who helps you."
Yes.
And he's helping them by sending you, Lancy. You're the one who's speaking through. He's speaking through you to help them.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was just yesterday that I was teaching a class, and I spoke to them also in it's not in Isaiah, it's in Jeremiah 29:11. It's a real famous verse. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not for calamity, but to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future." And so, you know, a lot of inmates will cling to that verse. They need hope that life can be different. But then I say, you can't claim that hope in the Lord unless you've got to look at verses 12 and 13. What it says in those two verses is that you will call unto me, the Lord, and you will find me when you seek for me with all of your heart. In other words, you can't just claim, hey, the Lord's got good plans for me. You've got to seek the Lord with all of your heart, and the Lord will hear you, and he will listen to you, and then he will bring about that change of thinking and bring about this, you know, plan for your life that he has had from the beginning. The Lord wants to prosper us. He wants us to have a good, abundant life. That says John 10:10. It says, "I am come that you might have life and you might have it abundantly." That's why Jesus Christ came. And when you have a relationship with him, he brings about that amazing plan for your life that it speaks about in Jeremiah. And that's what I go there to teach them and to tell them and to bring them that hope.
Oh, that's powerful. You can't get any more powerful than that. So
that's why I love going there. I really look forward to it, because I know that there are people there that will, not everybody wants to listen, but I know that there's going to be somebody. And I just pray, Lord, just send me someone in my path today that really wants to change.
Amen to that. There's so many ungodly things out here, and that's what it's all about, Lynn. So, Lynn, how do you feel that, how is your book relevant in today's society?
Well, I can tell you that I look around, and I don't know about you, but I look around and the American family is in trouble. It's falling apart left and right. Moms and dads are not staying together. The divorce rate just continues to rise. And so, you know, I think there's more single-parent homes in America than there are ones with moms and dads. And it's hard enough to raise, you know, children, the two of us, more or less, by yourself. It's really, really hard. And so the parents today need this this godly advice. It's not... This book is not about, oh, you know, Lynn Sandberg's such a great parent, you know, take her advice. This is directing you to God the Father. He says in Matthew chapter 6 to pray like this, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's where the title of the book comes from. We are to pray that our lives on earth will be like it is in heaven. Well, how are we supposed to bring that about unless we study or get to know God the Father? So the book is all about get to know God the Father and how he is towards you, his child. Then you are to mirror that to your children. If
yes.
God's merciful,
yes.
then you be that. If he's a disciplinarian, you be that. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Every family in America needs these principles to get the family back on track. So not only are the families falling apart, mom and dad are not staying together, but children at an alarming rate are becoming more and more disrespectful, not only to their parents, but to every other adult in their life.
Yes.
It is pretty,
yes.
It's pretty shocking the way children speak to their moms. I hear them.
And then, Lynn, when
your moms out. Huh?
I was going to say, when you turn on the news, you're saying children killing their parents now. It's just getting ridiculous.
It is. And the number of young people, younger and younger, that are committing adult-like crimes. You know, our society really is falling apart from the inside out. And I mean by that, from the center of the family working its way out. The family is falling apart. And this book speaks to... What does it take to have a solid family? And it is based on biblical principles, looking to God the Father to set the parameters or set the principles for the family. This is how we relate to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does work. I'm telling you, these principles work. And, you know, I have three now grown children. They are well established in the Lord. They give back to their church. They love the Word of God. And I am just so grateful that the Lord led me to learn from him these principles. And I've seen how the Lord has worked in my own family. I had a strong desire then to pass that on to other families. And that's the reason why I took this much effort to put it into words so that others could read it. I also have this last fall pulled all the teaching material, because I have been teaching this material to the inmates at the Harrison County Jail for the last 8 years. And so I've pulled all my teaching materials together based on the book and turned it into a parenting course so that you could get the parenting course and go and teach it to a small group in your area. You don't need me. You can take the book, the material that I put together, and you could lead a small group in your home. You could lead it at your church, wherever. And that's my mission. That's my goal now, is to make sure that people know that this is available to them. They can use it as a resource to help build their families to be strong in the Lord.
Well, what I like, what I definitely like about you in the book, you're not claiming perfection, but you're doing it. You're doing it the standard way that God wants you to do it.
Yeah.
So that's why I do for love. It's not about being the perfect parent here. It's just about training, getting your child to be trained the way they need to be trained. I think Proverbs 22:6 says that train up a child in the way he should go. Mm-hmm. When he is old, he will not depart from it. By following God's word, we can raise children who avoid evil and serve God faithfully.
Yes. Absolutely. It's not about Lynn Sandberg being the perfect parent, or even saying, well, I'm, you know, I can attain perfection. It's there's only one perfect parent.
Exactly. That's
and
God.
It's God. God is the perfect one. And we, and so I actually speak about my own failings in the book, and what somebody else could learn from, and what I learned from my, how I failed, and how the Lord intervened, and how he helped change me. I talk about the need for repentance when you mess up as a parent. The way to fix it is to repent to the Lord, but also then to go to your child. And, you know, if you got angry with your child and you said or did something that was inappropriate, that's sinful, it is appropriate then to go and to repent with the Lord, but also then with your child to make it right. In other words, reestablish, reconnect with your child and say, you know, mommy messed up. Will you forgive me? And, you know, that's one of the important elements of being a godly parent, and that is the need for repentance. I don't know about you, but I mess up on a regular basis.
Whether yeah,
I'm a
parent
or
just life.
A person interacting with anybody, I find myself continually battling sin. I mean, Paul talks about, you know, the battle within me. I've got the Spirit of God that's living within me, but also I've got my you know, the old nature battling. Satan's always trying to get me to mess up, and I regularly have to stand with the armor of God on and say, no, Satan, get behind me, you know, like Jesus did in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
Satan, get behind me. You have no place in my life. I am a child of the King, and I am going to serve and worship him. And so that's the battle that we are in every single day. Satan doesn't want us to live for the Lord. He doesn't want us to honor the Lord with our life. He hates God. And the best way to get back at God is to attack the very thing that God loves most, and that's you and me.
And see, he knows the devil was once an angel himself, so that's where you have to be careful, because, see, when he comes, when this end of the time comes, and he's going to try to deceive most of them, and some of them are going to be deceived, so help me, but you got to know which one is which.
Yep, absolutely. And so it takes a parent who is dedicated to keeping a strong relationship with the Lord so that you can hear the Lord speaking. You know, knowing the difference, is that the Lord speaking? Is Satan messing with me? Or is it just my fleshly desires rearing up? I mean, that is something that's only going to come from knowing God more and more, better and better every single day. For example, do I have to, when I call my husband on the phone, do I need to say, hello, may I speak to Bob Sandberg, please? This is Lynn Sandberg. Do I have to say that when I call him? No, because sometimes I just start talking. He knows me because he knows me so well. He knows my voice. He knows that it's me right away. I say, hey, honey, can you pick up some bread at the grocery store? He's not going to say, well, who is this? And why is it that he knows me that well, that I don't even have to say, hello, may I speak to Bob? It's because he and I spend time together. He knows me intimately. He has come to know my voice. And that's what it is to know God that well, so that we don't have to wonder, is that God speaking to me? Or is it Satan messing with me? We come to know God so intimately that we know his voice. Isn't that a beautiful thing? You know, and that only comes from spending time with him. And so a parent, first of all, has to be committed to spending time with the Lord. You want to be a godly parent, then you need time with the Lord.
Yes, ma'am. You sure do. I do agree with that. You know what, I did admire the part, because you did say you talked about your family when your daughter came in the house and she blurted out, what is an orgasm? And I was thinking of the same thing too, Lynn. I didn't know any of that at the age of 18 or 19.
Uh-huh.
I actually if it wasn't for peer pressure, I probably would have waited longer, but I gave up my virginity at 18, and people still look at me funny, like, really, 18? I'm like, yeah, if it wasn't for that, I would have waited much longer, because I didn't know sex or nothing else. My mother, she discussed it with me, but she was so strict, I dared not to cross her, and I was still afraid when I crossed her at that age. I was like, oh, Lord, forgive me.
Wow. Well, that story is in relation to developing a relationship with your child so that they feel comfortable asking you anything. And that she did hold around, and she was embarrassed to ask it, but she finally got it out. And I just immediately realized how blessed I was, first of all, that she didn't know what it was, and she had to ask me at 19 years old. I was very blessed to know that she was waiting, you know, for her husband, but also as a parent, that she was willing to come and ask me, because that was pretty hard for her to ask me. It was embarrassing. And so she revealed to me that day that she trusted me with that I wouldn't make fun of her. And so that's one of the things that we talk about in the book, is that you need to establish a relationship with your child so that they trust you, that you won't punish them for what they are revealing, or that you won't make fun of them or whatever, that you will take seriously every single question that they ask, and they value, you set up a situation where they value your opinion, and they really want to know the answer.
And that's why I was talking to one of my other guests days ago about how years ago, like, for instance, my mother, she wasn't able to communicate with her mother on certain things. It was not allowed at those times.
Right.
So that's why my mother, she still engaged in conversation. She never wanted me to be afraid to come to her, even though in my heart I was. I was like, no, I hear what you're saying, but I know I'm not. I'm just going to wait. that's like, she put that, and you know, she's going to try to put that fear. I don't think I was fearful of my mother. I just didn't want to mess up, because I was the studious type, getting the A's, and I was like, I don't want to mess up, so no, I'm not going to tell you it. I'm telling you, Lynn, there was not a boy in sight that would approach that porch without my mother have to roast him, and I'd be like, you know what, that's it. You don't even have to worry about it. I know the date is off already. Don't even come on the porch. Don't even worry about it. Just go on. I see you in school the next day. But that's how I want it for my daughters. I don't want them to be afraid. So I try not to have that threat when I talk to them.
Yeah.
Come and talk to me. Yeah. Yes. You know you did wrong, but I still want you to talk to me about it.
It's a balance between being a good disciplinarian and keeping good discipline in your home, but also being tender and merciful toward the child so that they know that they can come to you and not hide things from you, sneak behind your back. You really don't want that. You don't want a child sneaking off and doing stuff behind your back, because they could go way down a very destructive road before you even know it. They're in trouble. You want a child come to you pregnant. Well, no, because, she's pregnant now, and so you have to deal with whatever is now dealt, but wouldn't you rather have her come to you when she's making the decision whether or not to go and have sex with somebody? 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, you want them to be able to come to you and say, I feel peer pressure to do this for me. I don't want to. I know that what you've taught me is to wait, but I'm feeling a lot of pressure, and I don't know what to do about it. You want them to be able to feel comfortable to come talk to you.
That's definitely how I felt. My mother was so strict, I felt that I just couldn't come all the time to just discuss things, because I know, and you know, they say actions speak louder than words, and that's how it was. Your actions are speaking louder than what you're telling me, so that's why I kept a lot of stuff to myself.
Right.
I think I'll do the same thing. Even though they're eight, the little things that they do, like, I know that they just they took my nature, my my bars, and I was like, I know you took them. No, we didn't. I found the evidence. So I'm going to tell them about the evidence I found today when they get home from school.
Oh,
I said, I know you took it. I know I've been working about 4 weeks and 7 days straight, but my mind has not gone because I know your daddy don't eat them. So,
wow.
And then she brought the other sister in land and said, did you eat them? No. Mama, neither one of us ate them. So I'm like, okay, you can go. So I'm going to confront them. I'm not upset. I just prefer you to ask.
Mm-hmm. Well, in my house, mm-hmm. I mean, the taking them was not the greatest offense. The
yeah.
greatest offense was when you approached them and said, did you take them or did you eat them? And they said no, but they really had. Well, now they've lied, right? So that's actually a worse offense than actually taking them. And so, they actually need discipline for the lying and say,
mm-hmm.
well, you know, I would prefer that you just come and ask me. And in the future, this is what I want you to do. But for lying to me, this is the discipline that I'm going to instill in your life today.
I know they get afraid, but don't be afraid because I am trying to use other methods besides just always discipline that way with the spanking. So, and I think
that's why
they do it like, okay, mama going to give us a spanking, but I didn't want her to I don't want them to be afraid of me like that.
No.
And I think from my home raisings, it was just one way or the other, and it was no questions asked. But, Lynn, this is what I want to ask. Is there any subject currently trending in the news that relates to your book?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, you go from 1 in 3 children are obese in the state of Mississippi.
So then it
directs you to the chapter on how to lead your child to be a healthy person, what they should eat and how they should exercise. I mean, that's just one. They were talking, one of the states up in the Northeast was talking about making it illegal to supersize the French fries and the drinks and the, actually making it illegal. And that's just so silly, right? That you have to make a law that you can't supersize a McDonald's meal. But it speaks to the issue that when you supersize it, they're consuming so many more calories, and American people are so out of shape and overweight. And so that's just one of the many trends that's going on in America and that I speak about in the chapter on how to be a healthy person. But, I mean, you've got the violence, the teen violence, the gangs in America today, families are just losing their children left and right to teen pregnancies, what I just said, the gangs and kids spending the majority of their days playing video games. They become like zombies. They watch way too much TV. I mean, on and on and on. You see the statistics being talked about, and I address each one of these in the book. How about the dropout rate in American schools today?
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of upswing, but it's still not where it needs to be. Kids are dropping out of school, not getting a high school education at an alarming rate across our country. And so the very first way that Jesus grew intellectually and became wise addresses that issue. The statistic today that says that the majority of people raised in churches will grow up and not attend church themselves. It's an alarming rate of church-going families that raise their children in church. They grow up and go off to college, and they don't return to the church. Baptists are actually have the highest rate. I don't know if you know this, but Baptists have the highest rate of losing their children. I mean, I can go on and on and on and on, and I address all these different areas. That's the reason why one of the basic scriptures is Luke 2:52. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature in favor with God and men. I look at all areas of child's growth and look at the godly principles that will help them to grow in each one of those areas.
Mm-mm-mm. And you know,
that was a mouthful, wasn't it?
It was. And then come to think of it, CNN did an arc on it. It's called CNN Parents, and this was of last year. It's called Kids Behaving Badly When Old Rules of Discipline No Longer Apply. The father said his son sold a van, and the police came to the house to tell the father about it. And he asked the officer, he said, "Will you go upstairs to watch me whip his butt?" The officer said, "If I see you hit your son, we're going to have to lock you up." And so he replied, "What can I do? If I whip my son, I get locked up. If I let him keep doing what he's doing, I get into trouble." So he asked someone to please help him.
Wow.
But now they are giving the children an option. If you do discipline them, I have the right. I can call defects on you now, Mama and Daddy.
Wow.
And if you would have threatened my mother years ago with that, she was going to tell you, "That's fine. You can pack up your stuff and tell them to come on and get you."
But, you know, back in the day when your mother was raising her children, that just wasn't an issue. We knew that parents had to be given the power to discipline their children. And if they didn't, then it would be on society. And that's kind of where that man is. It's now the police is coming to the house. He's saying, You can't spank your child, or I'm going to haul you off. Now, I mean, really, if society only sits back and listens to what they're saying, that you don't give the parent the power to bring humility and submission into that child's life, they're going to grow up and enter into the criminal system of America, and our society is going to pay the price. Because did you know it takes $30 a day per inmate to have somebody arrested and living in a jail or a prison? It costs you and I, the taxpayers, $30 a day per inmate. Now, I mean, when you calculate the math, It takes $9 million to run annually just the jail that I minister in. $9 million to the taxpayers of the Gulf Coast. That's just one jail. Think about all the jails and the prisons across Mississippi tabulated up, and then add it all in across America. How much are we paying as a society to house and discipline the people who go to jail and prison? Wouldn't it be better if we help the parent from the child from the time the child is a little preschooler, all the way through their teen years? Help that parent to discipline that child properly so that they never end up in the legal system.
This is where
we need to start. We need to help these parents, empower them, teach them the right way to discipline, to bring respect to them. When a parent teaches a child to respect them, they will then in turn respect their teacher and respect the police officer, respect the law, respect their boss. On and on and on. A child needs to learn respect early in life, so that then they don't ever. I mean, it's just a sad day when a police officer doesn't understand these principles.
Yes, and that was very sad. I'm gonna have to either arrest you, and it's like, okay, what's really doing it? And really, psychologist says is not, a psychologist stated that it's not, out of control is not a problem, it's just the reality of things, but we just have to get our hands on it quickly. Like, for instance, with the spanking part they mentioned in here as too, spanking really causes them to think about hitting, so that's why you don't really prefer, you don't really want to spank them, because then it causes them, okay, this is the only way that you feel that you're superior over me by spanking. So that's why I try to wean away now that I'm reading certain books, to wean away from spanking, because I don't want them thinking, oh, I'm the mom, I'm bigger than you, so this is the way it's got to go. I'm going to beat up on you. So, yeah.
Right. Well, that's the difference between spanking like I'm going to beat up on you versus spanking for a redemption, you know, goal. And so spanking a young child can bring them back into fellowship with you and help them to gain respect for you if and only if you've done it in a biblical and healthy way. If you've done it with anger and you do it with force, you're only going to cause that child to become angry with you and then grow up and learn how to hit other people. So that's one of the reasons why our society is pushing away from spanking a child, because most people don't even understand how to do it in a healthy way, and they don't understand even what the goal of it is.
There are
so many other ways to discipline a child. So if a person really doesn't know how to spank in a healthy way, then they need to use all the other ways to bring about discipline in a child's life.
Yes. This would have been so powerful if it would have been years ago when I was raised up. But I really didn't get too many. I was really the quiet kind. I just got once out of the book when I felt I wanted to show my tail, as my mother would say it.
Yeah.
But Lynn, what other practical ideas do you have to pass to parents?
Well, I want the parent to kind of see themselves as like an ambassador, or maybe even like a good, like a steward. Like, you know, the parable in the Bible of the talents, that the landowner gave, you know, one talent to one of his workmen on his property, and then he gave five to another and ten to another, and he asked them to invest it. And he's going to go on a long trip. And when he came back, he would see how they invested. And so he goes on his trip and he comes back. Well, in the meantime, the one with the one talent buried it because he was afraid to lose it. The one with the five talents invested it and turned it in and doubled it. And the one with the ten doubled it. So when the man who owned it all came back and said, what do you have to show for yourself? The one said, hey, you should be proud of me. I buried it, and I have the one talent back. And he was displeased and sent that servant out and said, you know, be gone, and rewarded the two that made the investment. That's what I want parents to see, is that God has given children like an investment. I'm giving you this child for you to make an investment. And at the end of your parenting, you're going to give back to me a child that loves me, that loves his word, and wants to worship and serve him. And so what are you going to give back to the Lord at the end of your parenting task?
Okay.
I want them to see themselves like a steward that's making an investment, and to be passionate about the investment. This should be like on the forefront of your mind every day. I am responsible for two. You've got, do you just have the twins in your home?
Oh, yes. That's it. Just the twins.
So you got these two little girls in your home. And so God has given you these two little girls to make an investment into their life. And the Lord is asking you then to give back to him at the end of your parenting task. young women that love God, love his word, and want to worship and serve him. So then you have like doubled. It's not just Tanisha. It is Tanisha plus her girls. And so it's really a beautiful task that the Lord has given us as parents. And so I just want to inspire parents in your listening area to treat their task as parents like they are investing in the Lord and giving back to the Lord.
Oh, yes. And it gets rough, but it's a task that we have to go through.
Yes, it is hard. I think that parenting actually is the hardest job that anyone could ever have. Any job out there, it is the hardest. You're bringing up another human being, which is really the greatest task of all.
Well, Lynn, also, you speak in your book, which, like Luke chapter 2, verse 52, intellectually, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, are all those equally balanced?
Well, I think that a child can go amok, if you will, in any one of those areas. It could be if you don't get a child to want to learn all the days of their life, they just become someone who doesn't want to work, that could be to their demise. If you don't teach them to be healthy and they just, you know, don't treat their body like it's the temple of the Holy Spirit, it could be to their demise. It could literally mean their death. If you don't teach them to love the Lord God with all their heart, soul, and mind, then they won't be in the Savior's hand. They'll be off living a life for themselves. Of course, that's to their spiritual demise. And then, of course, if you don't teach them to choose their friends wisely, people can divert your child away to not living for the Lord, too. So really, I think it is balanced. I say that if you lead your child to become wise, you've done one of the greatest things that a parent can do because it affects all the other areas. I also say that if a child doesn't stay on the right path socially, it can be the quickest way that they can go off the right path. So I say, yes, it's equally balanced, but there's a little bit of weight towards the intellectual growth and the social growth. But yes, I think we need to be persistent and passionate about leading in all four areas.
So, Lynn, are there any other tips that parents should probably just keep in mind when disciplining their children all together? Is there one main important key?
One main important key, I believe, is to be passionate about doing it. But passionate in doing it in a godly way.
Okay.
You have to be very connected to the Lord yourself and very humble and submissive to the Lord when disciplining a child, because you can very quickly harden the child's heart towards you if you discipline out of harshness. So you need to be very passionate about disciplining, but disciplining with a lot of grace and a lot of mercy.
Lynn, is there a way for people to purchase your book or if they want to get in contact with you?
Yes. Thank you for asking. Please contact me at heavenbroughthome.com. That is my website. I have a store there on my website. You can purchase the book from me. You can also purchase the teaching material that I have put together in order to teach that it as a course, as a small group setting. So you can purchase the course and the book from me. heavenbroughthome.com. I look forward to having you all visit my website.
Thank you so much, Lynn. And before I leave, I just wanted to give this one note from John 14:18. We need to show and teach our children how to trust God and pray so they too may lay their burdens at the feet of Jesus, who said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Thank you so much, Lynn, for being on the show and embracing with your lovely grace and your word.
Thank you so much.
You have a blessed one, you and your family.
You too. Thank you, Tanisha.
You're welcome. Well, everyone, I hope you do go out and purchase the book, Heaven on Earth, A Biblical Model for Parenting. It will definitely help you not to be perfect, but to just help you be better in teaching your children and raising them the correct way, the way God wants us to raise our children. So please take heed into that. And if you came in late on the show, it will always be archived here on blogtalkradio.com/Technisha Day. That's blogtalkradio.com/TEKNESHIADAY. And stay tuned for tomorrow. Tomorrow I will have another guest on by the name of Nihar Suthar, and he will be giving you good advice as well. So I'm not going to tell you what it's all about. I just want you to stay tuned, keep your ears and your eyes open, and God bless.